Welcome to The Blueprint, episode 27, our final one. We had a little break last week because everyone went on holiday. I didn't go on holiday, but I had a nice break. So bigging up our backroom staff and bigging up Thames Delta. Our very special guest today is J-Line, which I'm a big fan of. So we're going to go right back to the history, episode 27. Wow. So we've been running. It was meant to be 25-week residency, but we went over because there was obviously COVID and this, that and the other. So we made up a few of the dates. And then we are going to have a rest, I believe, for about 4 or 6 weeks. Boom. And then we're back for season two.
Season two.
So end of season one, episode 27, J-Line in the building. Big up yourself, my brother.
Good to see
you. You are part of the Thames Delta Quest family as well. You do a lot of stuff in the studio and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's take it right back. Real name?
James.
Hey. And how did you get the name J-Line?
Good question. So my last name's Hicks. And when I started to play drum and bass again, after I had a little break from garage, after I first very started playing jungle, it's when I started playing drums properly. My name is Hicksy. And that's my last name is Hicks. And I got...
Not related to the hardcore Hicks?
No, not at all.
Right,
yeah,
okay,
no,
because I know him, yeah.
Well, my DJ name is DJ Hicks.
Okay.
Being a rebel, HIXXX it was. And if you look at the name, it looks awfully like Hicksy. So. Right. When I got asked...
So hold on, you started off playing jungle.
Very first.
And then you went to garage.
Uh-huh.
And then from garage, you came back out of garage into jungle D&B.
Yeah.
And then the name J-Line was born. What year was that?
2001, 2002. Yeah, end of 2001, beginning 2002. I started... Yeah, that's when I started.
So you're from... Man, these ends.
Yeah, I'm Basildon, Essex.
Wow.
Born and bred, man.
Excellent. So, and did you play at the Slammers?
The Slammers, no. No.
So when did you get into it?
Late. For me, that's, like I said, I'm the oldest new guy in town, bro. Like, I all the stuff that everybody remembers, like the Labyrinth and the parties of them times, like, I just about remember Herbal.
Right.
You know, like I went.
So you're in a new school.
I am. The I'm new just school. Literally kicked out of the old, right. Dragging into the new.
No, okay, kind of thing. Right. So you remember because yeah, Ryder used to do his nights there. We did a few things there. Herbal was a great venue. Really,
miss it.
Big up Spence, you know. I do miss that geezer. And we used to do the after parties upstairs. So big up Spencer, wherever you are now. I think he turned them into flats or something and made some decent.
What, there's some flats with some good memories and good vibrations right there. Mate, I know that
we had
much.
And big up the legendary Paul Trouble Anderson because I saw him play there a good few times. He had his little team and we used to play there and he used to do house nights. So how did you get into jungle? What was the first jungle record that you heard? Let's go jungle and then D&B.
I don't know if I could probably say a particular record because, like I said, when I first started playing jungle, I was literally playing on my pal's decks who lived across the road from me. I didn't know anything about mixing before that. Like, literally, Steve, big up Steve, Mr. Stephen Kibble. This is the guy that showed me into this world. He lived opposite me on my street. And
so what records were you mixing and listening to?
Dr. Octagon, Blue Flowers, was one that I remember in the collection all the time. A lot of Joker records. Stamina was in my pal's collections. Like, I couldn't even tell you the names of a lot of the stuff. I really couldn't. And it's not until I started to get into it properly. The garage is where I started really getting into music, like knowing the names of the tunes, searching for the tracks, you know, like...
So that was your kind of jungle.
Yeah.
Because we were going to have Martin Lana on. We'll probably catch up with him in season two. But he was around the same time as you when Jungle was born 94 to 97, 98, and then kind of the garage started to take off late
96, 97 for me.
Yeah. I remember 500 Records. Do you remember them? They used to be based at Brick Lane. I saw a geezer the other day and he went to me, yeah, you remember me? And then I looked at him and I went, no. And he went, I used to work in the Truman Brewery for this label. And I went, oh, yeah, 500 Records. They used to just do limited editions. But going back before that, Jolon, I used to go to the Royal Basildon Festival Hall to go and see John Leach play. And that's in my soul days. So there's, and obviously there was Canvey Island, Colin Hard, who was one of the big DJs around. There was Robbie Vincent. There was Chris Hill. They used to do the Gold Mine. But I always used to go and see John Leach because that gig was massive.
Yeah.
And they used to have Steve Walsh when he was alive. He used to do the Fatback Band, I Found Love. They did a cover of it. But those soul days were massive. There was a big soul following in Essex Basildon because there was Colchester, there was Clacton-on-Sea. I'll just show you a little bit about of your history and then how you would... Yeah, what type of music did you grow up with?
Soul, man. My mum listened to nothing but Elvis Presley, Barbra Streisand and Northern Soul.
Wow.
Like, that was pretty much it. Other than that, it was musicals, My nan was Irish. She listened to a lot of Irish music. Other than that, my granddad listened to things like Buddy Holly and Andy Williams. Like, so I was introduced to like composers of music quite early, you know, like Burt Bacharach. As a musician, like, is a massive inspiration to me. Quincy Jones. Like, these people, I've delved into like what these people have done in work for samples and just,
you know, he produced Quincy Jones, he produced a New Orders tune, did a Blue Monday.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. If you're into production and you take in what goes in with production, then you kind of move around, and you would know that by listening to garage. A couple of good friends of mine. I mean, I started off with Cole Tough and Off Brown. We was in the studio together, and then basically him and Matt Jam Lamont would go Tough Jam. That was a force to be reckoned with, and obviously they dominated pretty much most of the 90s with their production and their remixes, and we're having it off.
They are literally like the primary reason for me playing garage completely and utterly. I'd heard house music before, and I'd heard 4/4 garage, but I'd never heard garage with a snare like that in it.
Mm.
Like, it was just something about their sounds. Like, it was just different for me. It was raw. Mm. It was literally tough.
And what parties did you play at?
What, when I'd done garage? No, it was small things. The biggest thing I ever done was a Garage Nation on Canvey Island, in a Stairs nightclub, tiny little place on the seafront.
Right.
If you can call it a seafront. But
right.
But I didn't play any parties until the name J-Line come around, really.
And then you were doing a lot of production or not?
I got into production probably 2002, the end of 2002, I'd say. It's nearly 20 years for me now, nearly.
That's crazy.
The only reason I started making music is because I couldn't get certain tunes. And I thought, I'll just try and make something like that. If I can't get the track, I'll try and make something like it myself.
Yeah.
And sometimes, originally back in the day, when I had no clue, like, I'm from Basildon. I was brought up, like, in a family where my dad was a peddler. Like, he literally went door to door selling dishcloths and tea towels, and my mum done the same thing. My granddad worked at Ford's. My nan was a cleaner. Like, there was no musical influence in my family at all, really, except for
the music, what obviously.
What I heard from them.
Yeah,
but there was no one in my family who was like musically driven. My dad, my real father, he literally is the only one that's got anything similar to me. He was a disco DJ in the 70s for a while.
Wow.
But still, being a selector is being a selector, right? There's got
to
be something.
Yeah, but for, to say that, there's something in your blood.
It's got
do you know
be,
what I mean?
Yeah,
it's got to be, especially if you've done what you've done and the others didn't really have anything to do with the music. That's an interesting journey. So you came into the 2000s. So what do you use to make music?
I have always used Reason.
Okay.
From Reason 2. I've used their software. I've ventured out into other software before. I can use other software, but my heart, my comfortability all lies within Reason.
A couple of weeks ago, I played about 3 or 4 of your tunes on radio. You know that, don't you? Did you tune in for that one? Thank you very much. Yeah.
The track that you started with is a big track close to my heart anyway.
Yeah.
It was something that I made for me.
With V-dubs.
In Love.
Oh, In Love.
Yeah. That track there. Yeah, I'm really, really
happy. No, didn't you do a reboot with V-dubs?
Yeah, Greater Love.
Greater Love,
yeah.
Well, listen, that's my Bridges tune. Soundman, wherever you are, I need to send that to you because I've been playing that and that was originally on Elizabeth Troy,
Mr.
wasn't it?
Sour, come on.
Yeah, Bridges, you've got to play that for me for today. I've got to say, your production, because, you know, it's following all of your journeys, and there's a bit where it fits, and you get to hear the sound, and you go, "That's supposed to be what it sounds like."
Yeah,
you know, with the likes of Serum and Blade Runner and Voltage running away with everything when I first was schooling them up, they were that new school that came in, that just smashed and kicked the doors off, and were the stroke analog digital kids, and they set the bar. Nice to see that everyone's kind of caught up now.
They steamrolled it.
Yeah.
As soon as them doors were open at lockdown, big up guys as well, man. Like what a feat them guys have done. Like the three of them.
Yeah. Individually
as well. Like, see what I was going to say. What a strong team, and it's so beautiful to see something like that come from people that I'd really admire. That like, I've seen. Over the years, like here and there, day to day,
and even Critical Impact and even TI. It's not like they've been here, they've been going at this thing for at least 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And that just shows you that they dedicated everything to what they needed to do.
Yeah.
Because this is what I'm saying to you, Jalen. A lot of people, they come and a lot of people go. We have this kind of fad now of internet DJs here today, gone tomorrow. And really and truly, it stands the test of time. You're as good as your last tune, and you've got to keep pushing. Do you know what I mean? How have you found that? I mean, with Garage, it was a bit different because they kind of locked it off and didn't let anyone in.
Yeah.
And it was a bit like that for a long while. And then it broke off. You know, you had your MJ Coles and more of a musical side to what was going on. Who was the other guy who was really...
Todd Edwards.
So there was a couple of people that were born out of that scene that kind of took it in their own direction, and Stroke went into the whole house, was crossing over into
house. Wookie is another one.
Big up Wookie.
Big up, man. Yeah. That is what an inspiration. He's still an inspiration for me now in drums, like just down to the way he sounds, you know, I love his whole sounds, whether it would be at that speed or another speed. His house music's amazing.
I think Mickey said something very important in the early interviews, and a lot of people can relate to this, is you must have been buying and getting the tape packs. You would know a Brian G tape. You would know a Ray Keith tape, a Groove Rider tape, a Fabio tape, a Bookham tape, a Randall tape, a Kenny Ken tape. A Mickey Finn or a Darren Jake, because we all had our own individual stamp on what was going on.
God, yeah.
And that's what gave us that identity. Mm. Whereas I feel nowadays, it's all on one monotone and no one's really thinking out of the box. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's the difference between producer DJs and DJs. You know what I mean? Like, I played out over the weekend and I played at an after party, and I feel the music, J-Line. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you and like Gary, I'm passionate about it still. Do you know what I mean?
Being honest with myself, the move from Jungle to Garage was because I'm really sorry, guys, was The Sound of Bad Company. At that time, I didn't like it. I didn't like it because I was into jungle. I liked the vocals and I liked the positive ragged samples. And it was bouncy. It was jumpy to me, you know, I found it energetic. And then I heard Alien Girl, you know, and then kind of tunes there. And I just, it took me away from it. Don't get me wrong, I love that stuff now, because I just weren't ready for it at that time whatsoever.
I think if you look back, and actually this is really important, and it's not a plug, it's not even a direct plug, but when I wrote my book, I wanted to show how quickly, within every 2 years, there was a change. Change, like if you go from 88 to 90, jungle techno change, 90 to 92, 92 to 94, 94 to 97, 97 to 2000, yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it was changing, it was just evolving. And if you weren't able to be a chameleon and adapt, and that wasn't just the sound, that was the gear that they were using. If you remember when Bad Company and Ed Rush and Optical came in, everything was Mackie. It was very clean. Yeah. It was very clinical. It was very simple. Maybe 6 to 8 elements, but everything you could hear was clean.
Crystal clear, yeah.
Even when you listen to Brocky and Ed Solo, they had grasped and nurtured that bass sound.
Yeah.
And made it into jungle. Do you know what I mean? Like, but that was the crossover, I guess, and that was very important. And I think, like, when you look back at the timelines, because I was, you know, we were all there from day one. But sometimes you forget how quickly it was, and yeah. As quickly, unfortunately, as quickly as garage came, it actually went. Just like dubstep did. But yeah. Jungle has maintained the mother
throughout,
because we had the break scene, we had the kind of like two step garage. And then we had like the dubstep thing, and they all came and went.
Yeah.
And they're now niche markets. It's kind of making a revival, isn't it?
Exactly. It comes in, and as it goes out, it, like a few little places hang on to it.
Yeah.
Here and there.
Yeah.
It's like dubstep swept a wave over America.
And yeah, I think that when Skrillex kind of jumped onto that whole electronic thing.
Yeah, it still lives there.
Yeah,
you know, like you can still go to a big dubstep party over there, and there's thousands of people there still.
But on the other hand, like my friend Mala, DMZ, True to the Roots, you know, they're still doing parties, and they've got a massive following, and that's good to see. You know, and even when we was in the shop with Youngster, you know, like Forward, those nights, those things that they were doing, were very, very way ahead of what was going on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's it. They're the things, the innovators, man.
Have you got any garage today?
I might have a couple of tracks.
I think you should start off with a couple of garage tunes and pay homage to that. Like, if you can put...
I might have a couple of breakbeat tracks as well, actually.
Yeah, just fling it all in to start off and get them worked up. I don't mind a bit of garage. My ex-wife used to go jungle and garage. So, and she was bringing me a lot of the tunes and listening to them, and obviously feeding our nephew who go on to kind of mix the two together of garage and house, Joy Orbison. He's my nephew. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So when he did that High Flamingo tune, I was like, wow, it was a real, you know what I mean? It was one of them seminal tracks that kind of crossed everything over together. Who was the first person that gave you your break, brother?
The first person who gave me a break.
In the jungle.
Was my best friend, who is now passed, Ian Dean.
Okay.
Dainty. Do you remember Dainty?
No.
He used to work in Mickey's shop.
Okay.
Mickey Finn,
you know? Yeah. Mickey, a lot of people that's come along here. Mickey was
Yeah, was
ego tripping as well, because all of you guys, he had...
Me, Moddy and Ego.
Modified Motion.
We were the first three releases on Fin People.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the beginning for me.
Right.
The true beginning of J-Line was right there. The change of the name was because of Mickey. He's like, can't be having that, Jay. He can't be called Hicks. He's like, he's got to change your name.
And Mickey's so raw. You're so sad. I used to clash with Mickey quite often because he's very opinionated if you know him. He seems to be more chilled out now though. Because had a couple of personal situations where I've phoned him and he's given me some really wise and beautiful information. But you know, Mickey's from the ends. He's from the streets, like all of us, working class, grafted all the way through, opened up those doors. I'll tell you something about Mickey Finn. He used to love an egg sandwich. I know he's vegan now. But when we used to go City Sounds, he used to come up in the mornings because they used to do their shopping. He used to go, Ray, I'm getting a fried egg sandwich. Do you want one? I used to nick next door with him. And we used to get our fried egg sandwiches there when we were only in our 20s, brother, 22, 24.
Yeah, and Mickey's a
listen. If it wasn't for Mickey,
yeah,
a lot of people wouldn't, including me, wouldn't have been going up north. He was like God up there. He was he was being a huge influence in the foundations of jungle drum and bass, and also a gatekeeper like myself, bringing people in, networking people, joining people, opening up them doors.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And always thinking out of the box. So Mickey Finn, wherever you are, brother, we love you, mate.
Bless you, man. Bless you.
And so really Mickey was like your someone that you looked up to. So he was nurturing you and he was...
Mickey was the first tape I ever heard.
Right.
Yeah. Mickey and Fearless was the first tape I ever heard.
Wow.
And that tape stayed with me for a long, long time, very long time. And then it was Hype, and then yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's very true. And the reason I loved your stuff, because you was the dark jungle. That, for me, like, that was when I first started to hear, like, the darker jungle. It was like, no, you know what, I mean, the dark stuff's not that bad, actually. I like this.
Yeah.
Mickey was because of those intros.
He's a dub plate king, man.
He's the king.
It was coming like an early David Rodigan, and you couldn't compete with that. But to a certain extent, I kind of lent the other way because I made Renegade Gay Terrorist as a dub tune because I was tired of this Bumbleclot this and this Ross this and this and I thought everyone's just sampling any old music now from the reggae scene, so that was my interpretation of dub and it worked. Do you know what I mean? But I mean you couldn't mess with Mickey for specials, bro.
Nah.
Like intros, specials.
Yeah, no, he was
the dub cutting plate king. Do you know what I mean?
The amount of different dub plates that I've heard from that guy. Just going to his house, actually, and being in a studio at the back of to the back, his old garage. I remember before he got rid of his records, it was just this wall of acetate, wall of pure money and shattering.
Cutting some plates, amazing. But them men now, they were cutting some serious plates. They would do night sessions, Top Buzz, him, Ryder, Peche at Metropolis. Do you know what I mean? They were the night sessions. Then there was the Ghetto Music House. And then there was Porky's around the corner from me where I'd slip a few in at lunchtime. Do you know what I mean? So, and then Go Music House. Wow.
See, I never got to go to London. I was like, when my mates were all going raving, I was young still. My mum didn't let me go out. I had to be in when the lights went off. Like that was it. Like, you ain't going out where I can't see you, let alone being outside where I can see you at dark.
And who was the first studio that you went to?
The first studio that I ever went to in my life was when I was 18 years old, and it's my eldest daughter's uncle. Two uncles actually, and it was a country music studio, and I was sitting in there learning how to use a piece of equipment called a VS-24AE. Remember that, the Roland?
Yeah,
it was like a little, like it, all in one box.
I think Gavin had that actually.
Yeah,
and Nookie. Yeah,
so that's the first thing that I ever used, that and SoundForge, just editing audio. And then I didn't touch anything studio wise for 3 years after that.
And then
that's when I started making music.
My good friend Floyd Dice, the house crew, he uses Reason.
Yeah.
But he was all brought up.
Big up Reason Cubase. Studios, by the way. Yeah, got to say that. Like,
cool.
They're the most massive part of my life when it comes to music, really.
Mm.
Like,
that's the one with the wires.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Because Blade Runner used to use that. And I actually might, I was thinking about using Ableton, but I might use Reason now. To go live.
It's beautiful now, honestly. Compared to what it was, it really is. And you know what? If you're using any program, Reason's a VST now, so you can just open any of the machines in any other door.
Okay.
Like, it's very, very user-friendly.
You made some bangers, bruv.
Thank you.
You've had some releases on a few fair labels.
Yeah.
Name some of the labels that you've had stuff on. Obviously, Mickey's. People, yeah.
God. I had a long stint with Biological Beats.
Yeah.
Big up Fat Man. I was there for a little while. I released a lot of my... that was like my 13 to 15 years, like 2013, 2015, 16. I made a lot of my jump up stuff in that time. A lot of the stuff that people know me for.
And you also had releases on Logan's, didn't you?
Yeah, Logan's, something not long ago as well. Yeah. I've done a few things for Logan, mostly my own label, Sound Bully Audio. But now, at the minute, I'm doing an album for Lion Dub International.
Brilliant.
Big up Eric.
Yeah.
It's, I'd say, my most exciting project yet, as I'm doing a Liquid and Jungle vocally driven album. So, yeah, I'm going to make some stuff for you guys to listen to for once, isn't it? So, and then I've got another really exciting album project coming up with Lion Dub after that, which I don't want to say too much about right now, but you'll hear more about it soon. And then I'm making another project with DTR, Digital Terror Records in New York. Big up Anthony Masio as well. Big up, bro. I'm doing another, it's like an album project for them. So it'll be like 3 or 4 EPs.
What I like about you and why I signed Serum Blade and obviously when Voltage was a duo was the versatility of what they could do.
Yeah.
Because I find now... and listen, I see Tom EB says what you said about monotone. I hope I can bring something different, something solely live. Well, it is really important that the youngsters, because otherwise their music won't survive. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It'll be, do you remember when there was just loads of stuff coming out and it was just a lot of throwaway music?
There was no QC, there was no quality control whatsoever.
And I feel some of that is like that. They either go, someone does one tune, like always, and everyone goes in that direction. Just like when Ed and Optical came, they all tried to go down the same route. And it's very much the same-ish. Whereas if you stand back a little bit and think about the soulfulness and think about the musicality, then you're going to have a longer version. And don't copy everyone else. Just try and be you. Yeah. Do you understand? And you have a very unique sound, which I like about it. Whether you do a jump up or whether you do a vocal tune, I can hear it in your production. So, yeah, big up for that,
thank
brother.
Thank you, man. That means a lot.
And it's outstanding. And I think sometimes we don't give enough props to guys like you who have been there from, it's not like you come yesterday. You're like all the rest of the guys that have put 10, 15 years in, that now you're starting to get a few of the rewards.
Get in there, man.
It's still a struggle, though.
I must admit, most of the reward is the music that I'm making right now. I'm truly happy with it. Mm. I like the stuff that I'm making. It's got to the point where I feel like I'm making what I want to make.
I think you've got to go through that, right? Because even when you was doing the jump up, like Ego Tripping, and you're known for it, it's nice to then have that under your belt.
Yeah.
It's mad, J-Line, because I'm a jazz man. And the stuff that I play and like the it gets unnoticed because people are like, nah, that's not Ray Cave. But actually, it is.
I've got a couple of special things for you today.
Well, I've done a tune called Rare Groove, which Slater, I mean, oh my God, Slater and Motive, those guys, they're only in their 20s, bro.
Mate, there's so much good talent out there right now. It's actually ridiculous.
Like, and that's what I'm saying to you. Those guys there. World. The soulfulness, the engineering, and they can do hard. Don't get me wrong. I've got another young kid, Posk. He's from Birmingham. He's done a remix of Chasing Shadows, and it's just disgusting. It sounds like the breaks and the bass bends when he's doing the whole thing. And I was like, wow, he really went into the Matrix. But that, what I'm saying to you is, even you, with the likes of you, like when I listen to that Greater Love, which is one of my pals tunes, I was like, wow, it's got that essence of jungle, that little jungle magic gold dust that you just think to yourself, wow, this sounds amazing.
We didn't want to push that too far away from what it already was, It was more about having a nice fresh version of that track to play. Yeah. And me and Vicky,
I love Vicky. Vicky, V-Dubs, wherever you are. I said to her the other day, I said to her, she played it over the weekend for us at E1. I said, do you remember? I saw you about 10 years ago. We were in Ibiza. And I played in Ibiza for AWOL when they were at, you know the club that they put all the foam in?
Not Eden, is it? Is it Eden?
Eden, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, she was playing there, and I went and I listened to her whole set, and I was like, it blew me away. She plays better than some geezers.
She's one of the best drum and bass DJs out there, mate.
Without a doubt.
And that's the passion. That's what I'm saying right there. She's one of the best drum and bass DJs.
Very underrated DJ. That's why I want her on all our shows to give her a platform to showcase, because she is a badass DJ and fearless, like drawing tunes. And like, I was like, wow. And I love watching her play. Big up MC Enemy as well.
Come on,
you
Becky.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that. The GTA girls, right there.
We love you. Do you know what I'm saying? That's what I like. I like that passion, that energy. Oh my God, is that the time already? Do you want to? Yeah. So who else gave you a break?
Mickey was the one that gave me the break, really, and that was through my pal Ian. I met my pal Ian. He saw me playing at a radio station, and I was playing my own tunes. And like,
what radio station?
I was playing on Charge FM. Charge FM back in Basildon. It was like, I was like, that's what I'm saying. I've never gone out of the local. Like, the biggest thing I was doing was playing the radio. And then Ian done this show. It was like Syndicate and Charge come together. And Ian's nudging the guy. He's like, who's this dude like playing all these Full Cycle bits? Like, it sounded like Full Cycle dubs. I didn't even know who Full Cycle was. Like, I had no clue. It took me under his wing. He's like, I need to show you some people. I met Brocky. I met Devious. Devious. Big up Devious, man. I ain't seen Devious in a little while yet. But Richard Raindance, another man that gave me an early opportunity. The first time I played a gig out in London as J-Line was in the Blue Rooms at SE1 at Raindance.
Wow.
And from that day, I played the next five parties after that party as well. So that gave me a really, really good shout into it. My brother, Rough Stuff, he's been a constant positive light for me. He's given me a good push in a lot of directions.
Yeah, big up, Rough Stuff. Yeah. I've known him since we was resident at Bar Rumba for like nearly 10, 12 years. And that's when we all first started together. And then we were all at... all of them places like Laserdrome and just spots in London, do you know what I mean, where we would play, do you know what I mean? Big up Rough Stuff, man, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's my brother right there. Definitely. And me and Ruffy, we've done some good work along the ways. Some good work along the ways. Brian, mate, Brian G as well. Like, he put some of my music out before... Like he took a couple of the bits that were like, I never thought would go anywhere, you know, they were the strange bits. Nope. I took these tunes, put them out, got play from Andy C on one of them. It's the only tune to this day I think that Andy's ever played of mine. But like, yeah, Brian, big up Brian as well, man. He's been a massive influence as well.
But you are a sound guy, aren't you? You're on both the sets. You're an engineer and
it's my world, my life.
You're an artist. I mean, growing up, what else did you do? Did you have a trade?
I'm a qualified salesman by trade. But other than that, computers have always been my world. I've been a technical minded person from as long as I can remember.
Yeah, like modified motion, that whole little era of you guys.
We was tech kids, bruv. There ain't a console that I haven't had taken apart and put back together. Like, I was just that kid. Truly believe that there was, I know they call it ADHD or whatnot now, but I've definitely got an overactive mind, without a doubt. Like, I learn still now as much as I learned back when I was 20 years old or 10 years, 15 years old. Mm. My brain's still sponging. I love it. I do.
And what influences did you take to build your sound? What were the people that you thought, yeah, I like that?
That's an easy one. That's Clips, Zen, pretty much Formation Records. So it was Clips, Zen, G-Dub, Hazard, Twisted.
Yeah.
Them guys right there for what J-Line become, like...
But they were the next gen, weren't they?
When you look at
Twisted, I mean, Twisted, when he was on Formation, he was the golden boy of that label. Like he was the one that S pushed and had a great 3 year.
Yeah,
smashed it out of the park, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. It felt like longer than 3 years as well.
Yeah,
but
it was maybe 5 years. He had a good bloody run.
He had a really good run, bro.
Yeah,
like, and then I had the honour of doing a remix for him not that long ago, a few years ago. Like, no, that's a good time for me. The whole that whole generation dub for me, probably they were probably the guys that I really most I clung to that sound hard, very, very hard.
I think Hazard as well, all of them, they Boss set man. The tone for it, even though it was classed as Jump Up, it wasn't really Jump Up because it crossed over, didn't it?
It was
so I don't know how you describe that. Yeah,
it was front drum and bass is what we called it back at that point. That's what we was calling
it, because it kind of left that side to it. It was like, hang on a minute, I know what they're doing, but we're doing our own thing.
Yeah.
And all of their tunes, I mean, even now, Hazard is like, he's a genius, brother.
Absolute genius, mate. He is an absolute genius.
And Clips as well, because they think out of the box and they don't do what everybody else does.
From here. Like, that's something I've always tried to do, man, is be me, innit? No matter where the sound is going, like you said, you'll notice in my tracks, like, you can go through my whole history of music. I'm not doing what they're doing. I'm doing what I want to do. Mm. I go with my feelings. I've always made music going with my feelings.
Cause that's not always easy, though, is it?
It's really not.
when you look back and when you choose integrity, it's not that easy to kind of, because sometimes you don't get the booking, sometimes you don't get the adulation, and sometimes you've got to sit on almost like it's a super sub, and then you'll have your moment, go on and smash it, and everyone will be like, wow, I want to book this geezer because he sounds so different from everybody else.
Yeah.
If you've just joined us, we're on the Blueprint, episode 27, season one has come to an end. So J-Line is our last guest for the first season. I'm gassed that he's on the show because this guy here,
mate, thanks for having me.
He makes some unbelievable music, and this is what the Blueprint's all about, is to grab hold of the people and let you guys know where it's all coming from, and look at all the connections with Mickey and Biting Back Records and do you know what I'm saying?
It's a massive, like, our whole scene, it's such a huge tapestry of talent, like...
And it's quite entwined, because a lot of people wouldn't know. I mean, I remember when I remixed The Twist. You remember that tune? The Twist by one of Mickey's boys. It will come back to me. What was his name?
Not The Force.
No. Special K.
Oh, bloody hell. That name in a long time.
Yeah. But he was massive.
Yeah, he was.
I remixed a tune called The Twist. And I put, oh, mate, I could tell you exactly. I remixed it. I took it to Miami. We were playing at the formation party. SS was behind me. And I was mixing it. And as the gunshot went off in the tune, I just dropped it. And the whole place went mad because it was that sound and then the aiming and the bass.
Yeah.
And it just smashed it to pieces.
Yeah. I'm actually going on a little trip to America. Wow. For a month. You know what? We've all been in lockdown for so long.
Yeah.
I need to go and see my friends.
Yeah.
So I'm taking a little trip over to America soon. And you know what? I'm going to be giving some of my tracks to a few of my friends just to see some of the parties over there.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard any of my music out in another place. Somebody else playing it for a little while. Yeah. Still, yeah.
Well, it's nice, you know. And also, how did you deal with lockdown, brother?
Lockdown was difficult. It was very difficult. But I had some good support throughout it. And I think I just kept my head down, just cracked on with it, really. My mum's, so I've been dealing with my mum. She's had some health issues, but she's getting loads better now.
Good.
So that's pretty much, it was all about family for the past couple of years, trying to just focus in my head a little bit. Because I lost the music for a while, that whole period just kind of, yeah, it was a blasé of life, if you like. And yeah, it took a little while to pull back, but I did. Yeah, we got there in the end.
Yeah. Well, by the tunes that you sent me the other day, I was like, wow, it's like you got some bangers on there, bro. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it's feeling, bro. That's it.
Yeah, no.
I let it rule me.
100%. Well, look, I want to get you on the deck shortly. Is there anybody you wanna thank and say thank you to?
No, really, truly is. Like, firstly and foremostly, everybody that's locked in now, thank you very much for taking the time out to listen. Secondly, every single member of my family, everyone that's shown me support, all of you drum and bass heads out there, new and old, thank you. Keep it up. Yeah, stay positive. Let's spread the love.
When did you think that you were gonna, you were actually gonna do this for a living? Like, when was the point where you went, so you come out of the jungle, went into the garage, come back out of garage, then went back into jungle D&B?
It was all vocals for me.
Okay.
It was because I had this sound that I loved, and then grime appeared as well, and I didn't it was the jungle, and then jungle went to drum and bass into garage, and the garage was all vocally and bumpy still, and then the garage disappeared and the grime came back around, and it's not my thing. It weren't my thing, you know. Like, I just didn't like that aggressive kind of street sound at the time. So I went back to what was more positive sounding to me, and it ended up being that upfront drum and bass sound. But yeah, it's been a journey.
100%. I think there's some big things going to happen for you, bro, because I could just feel that vibe and the music. And sometimes, listen, I made loads of tunes back in the day and they were so ahead of their time, J-Line, that when you put them out, people didn't understand them.
Yeah.
And then 5 years later, they're like, oh, I get it now. Because you're looking forward, you're not looking back. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I can't look. I can look back and I can appreciate, but if I've made a drum break so for instance, when I listen back to the remix of Physical and I listen to the technicality of that tune, I'm like, we smashed it.
Yeah.
I can never do anything because it was at that time, it was way ahead of its time. But it was the technicality of what was going on, and that's a moment in time. And I think as well, what I wanted to say to you was, see, when you were making the jump up and you were going through the gears, it's almost like you've got to go through those years of progression to actually get where you are today, to be a mature Jedi student. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I wouldn't feel as comfortable and confident doing what I'm doing without the experience, without a doubt. It's taken, and it's not just all good experience either. It's just experience in general. I think you do. It does take a long time to be. I'm furniture. I'm not going anywhere. You know, I know that. I know I'm not going anywhere.
Did you have to convince yourself whether
I ended up being the biggest artist or the smallest artist in the world, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here.
But you're coming from Mickey Finn Stables, so you would have had that in you already. You would have known how to deal with a door that closes. You would have known how to deal with a door that opens, and you're always grateful. So those are the things.
I guess I never actually really looked at that like that. I was purposely looking for the doors. I have just pretty much flowed along with it. But I guess saying that, it just gives me a bit of an epiphany that I must have had some really good guardians in my time.
100%.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, I think you're shaped and you're moulded, and with the likes of Mickey Finn, it's already, when he pushes you on that yellow brick road, you're halfway down to see the Wizard of Oz anyway.
Yeah. So coming back to when you said, have I got anyone to thank? You know what? Anybody that's put their hand on my shoulder and pointed in a direction, I thank you very much.
That was important.
You've all been a part of what is shaping what I am now and what I'm going to be. So, yeah, I'm appreciative. Thank you very much, guys.
What's the biggest party you played at?
Rampage.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't done that.
Mate.
Sick.
Best day of my life. Best day of my life.
How many people?
17,000. 15,500 tickets sold, I think it was.
Because I think the one I saw, King of the Rovers, was like 30,000, 50,000. It was ridiculous.
Oh, that was it's like 15,000 capacity venue. And I don't know if it was the weekend that they done.
It must have been a massive.
Yeah, but it was just
inside an arena, people, right?
Yeah. That's the Sports Palais in Antwerp.
Right.
It's a 20,000 capacity venue, but they've got a massive part of it shut off. So there's 15,000 to 17,000 people, I think it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember the music video of Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror.
Yeah.
At the beginning, all you see is that sea of people with the lighters in their head.
Yeah.
I felt like Michael Jackson for a second.
Wow.
We were stood on top of a box. There was fire coming out of the side of it. Like, that was the first moment where me, Leveller, and his guy, Qdon, was down on the stage. Like, we actually had a couple of moments where we looked at each other like, yes,
This is gonna go up in
it. Excuse my language, this is what we're doing it for. Yeah. Is this right here? So big up all the Rampage guys for the best day of my life. Thank you.
Funniest moment?
Ooh. Funniest moment. There's been so many.
Come on. Pull one out of the bag.
So many.
But there's not hotting up anyone.
I'm going to say the name, but I'm not going to say what happened. I love Joe Unknown.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is Joe Unknown is one guy, the only guy that truly has had me in stitches for the complete duration of being at a party in Belgium. Right. It was at a City Flow. So big up Frank and Carlos as well at City Flow. It was at City Flow. Blackley was there. I was there. I think it might have been Joe's second time that he'd ever been abroad doing a gig. He was so drunk. He didn't hurt anyone. He didn't hurt himself either, but he looked like he might have a couple of times nearly hurt himself a couple of times. But I don't know if any of you have seen the music video where he ends up in a bathtub. It's close to that. But big up Joe Unknown for always. Actually, every single time I see him, he's the funniest man in drum and bass for me.
Wow.
Definitely.
Episode 27 of the original Blueprint show. I want to big up Thames Delta. My team here have been incredible. The studios are incredible. I haven't had to join any wires together or tap the Wi-Fi or just basically abandon the show. So thank you, Big D, Dorian. Thank you, Claire Quest. Thank the whole family. Thank you for putting this platform together so we can interview dudes like this. J-Line in the building, he's going to go and play some music and we're going to enjoy the this week's Jubilee because I'm a royalist and we love all that. And I'm going to let J-Line do his thing, man. I'm going to shout out on Facebook. Bigging up everybody on Facebook, bigging up everybody on Twitter, bigging everybody up on Twitch. Thank you for joining us. Basically, this is the original blueprint. Don't forget, this Thursday is our Queen's Jubilee special. If you've got an invite, if you've been invited, we're having food. Two-piece chicken's going to be rolling out. Woo. I'm going to be doing a set with Fearless, 1 till 2. Can we get the poster up of all the artists playing and I'll name check the artists just before? Oh my gosh. So there's myself, J-Line, there's Conrad Subs, there's Martin Nightram, there's Elisa, there's Mr. Quest, there's Therapy, Ribs, Bones, Lady Nikki, Whitey, Marky, KLR, Knight, Dave Itch, Dynasty, Darkspin, Platinum, DJ Q, IED, you got Formula, Paradis, DJ MX, you got Elisa on there twice. You got JMC, you've also got Elegance and you've got Therapy. MCs, Fearless, Foxy, Stars and Deezer, AMC,
Wiser.
You got Togs, you got Cobber, you got Prankster, you got Sibs, you got TT Ace, and you got ST Ranger. But to name a few, you got Caribbean Food, Soul Food, you got Cream Teas. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be doing a little sign in of my book. And also, I'll be having some USBs. So if you want to come over, I'll be doing a little chat. Q&A out in the open, and yeah, we're just here to mingle. We're out of the pandemic now. It's nice to be out. We'll be outside, so there'll be plenty of we'll be in fresh air anyway. And I don't know, have they got a setup for outside?
I'm not sure if it's happening
inside. I think it's all happening inside, but maybe we'll have a speaker outside.
Yeah, we're going
to
be outside.
Just to be piping it out. But right now, J-Line is in the building. I'm going to grab myself a microphone and an iPad. I'm going to be doing out some shout-outs, and trust me, this brother is going to be letting off some tunes. If you've just tuned in, it's the original Blueprint, episode 27. Can you believe it? I want to thank everybody who stuck with us every Tuesday between 1 and 3 and supported us. To all the artists that's passed through, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate you. We've got mad love for you. And oh my gosh, we're just hotting this place up because season 2 is going to be absolutely outstanding. We're going to have a 4 to 6 week break. And then we'll be back. So I'll be back with those dates. But the Dreadcast, thank you very much. The Dreadcast will be here every Thursday between 1 and 3. So I'll be going down to one day a week on your airwaves. But right now, J-Line in the building, letting off 2 tune. Let's be having you. Thank you very much.